Welcome to Logan City Christian Church Podcast, where we bring God's Word to you weekly. We pray what you hear will bring clarity to your situation and open doors in your life. Enjoy the message.
For the people that have been water baptized this morning, and congratulations to everyone, it is awesome. I would love to encourage you this morning to seek the Lord. Lord, what have you put me here on earth to do? Because no one is a mistake. That we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the eyes of God. And that when He formed us and He breathed His life into us and we became a living human being, in the breath of God was purpose. And so for others here that you may have fallen away from the Lord, you have a call of God on your life. And in this call, the things of the world cannot give you satisfaction. You will never reach what your heart is longing for. Hallelujah. My heart, seek the Lord. Find out what He wants you to do. And in that, there is great purpose. You will never feel lost. You will never feel alone. In Him, we have everything. Amen. Okay. This morning, I want to speak on authority. And we're going to look at the life of Jesus this morning with authority. And we always see Jesus as a man that had great authority, which He absolutely did. I personally believe that there wasn't a person on the face of the earth that had greater authority than what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ had. But this morning here, I want to have a look at the reason why Christ possessed that authority. And we're going to start with reading in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. Now, verse 5 says, "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Him pleading with Him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go and he goes, and to another, come and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you.' And his servant was healed that same hour." The centurion says something, one thing that when I was studying this the other day, I actually never saw it the way it's actually written. And he says this in verse 9, "For I also am a man under authority." Did you notice he didn't say, "I also am a man with authority"? Even though the centurion did have authority. See, he says to Jesus, "When I say to my servants, go and he goes, and come and I come, and do this and he does it," he knows that he has an authority to command people. But the words of the centurion, which I finally understood, which changed the way I perceive authority, is he says, I see that you are a man under authority. Now, in the Greek, let me read this word out if I can, is hupoexousia. Now, we know exousia, the Greek word exousia means authority, like an authority that we exercise and we see the fruit of it. But hupo means under. And that's where we get that word hypo. Has anyone had a hypo before of anything? Yeah, like where our blood sugar level is too low, we're under our normal sugar level, whatever it may be. And so the word this man actually used when he was talking to Jesus is that I am a man under authority. Now, the centurion wasn't a ruler of his own. He was subject to another. And because he was subject to another, that person that was above him, people saw, knowing, looking at, hey, this is a centurion, that if I mess with this guy, even if I, say, overrule him or defeat him or fight him or kill him, whatever, I have a higher power that I now face than this man. And so when the centurion come to Jesus and he said, I see that you, Jesus, are a man under authority, I believe that the centurion, when he saw the miracles of Jesus and when Jesus spoke, that there was such authority in what he said, he recognized that here is a man that is subject to someone greater than himself. See, in verse 10, Jesus marvels at the statement of the centurion, which was, Lord, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And then Jesus marvels, saying, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Now, putting this together and understanding that a centurion, the man understanding authority and knows that, when a man or a woman is under authority, they have power to exercise it. And so when he comes to Jesus and sees the authority of Jesus and understanding, knowing what authority really is, that he can make a statement of such great faith, saying, Lord, just speak the word and my servant will be healed. See, I believe many people at that time only perceived Jesus with miracles. Well, he's a man of miracles. And maybe others might have recognized Jesus of a person that can preach and have an authority in their sermon like no other else has before, like we read in the scripture. That no other man speaks with authority like this man. But there's only one man that we read, a centurion, that understood authority. Now today in our society, it's such a shame when we see on the news and in schools and in with families and all these things, such a rebellion against authority. It's everywhere now. See, I remember my parents telling me that if you were out riding your bike in the street and you were doing something wrong, a stranger had the authority to kick you up the backside and tell you not to do it again. True? That used to be Australia. And there was a lot of good in that. Yeah, I'm saying there was because I didn't experience that. So it's sort of like now we look at schools where kids can throw tantrums, chuck chairs at teachers, hit and punch and scream and carry on, and no one is allowed to do anything. It's a shame to see. I mean, I've got three kids that are in school, and I would love to see the cane be brought back into school. Because those kids that kick and scream and punch and throw things would soon realize there is one higher in authority than myself. It wouldn't take very long to sort out the school system. Now, I say that because I've left school. Once again, if we go back 15 years, I'd be like, Lord, just wait, just bring it in. I've got a few more years left. Let me graduate and then we can bring it in. But church, these are simple truths of authority. That when true authority is in a family, in a school system, in politics, in a church, in any type of ministry, there is godly order. There are so many things that naturally come into alignment where we don't have to keep putting out fires that should never be there. And unfortunately, we see that this great nation of Australia that was founded as a Christian nation is leaving the principles of God, leaving the principles of godly authority, that those who have maybe had an education or as a teacher or become a police officer or a parent, that we see that authority is being challenged and being pulled down. And when we see that something that God has established be pulled down, we can only expect darkness. Hallelujah. See, John chapter 5 Well, I won't turn there. I'll just quickly read it. I've got it down. Jesus was a man under authority. Under. He wasn't the authority when he was on earth. Jesus was under authority. And he says this in John chapter 5, 19 and 20. Then Jesus answered and said them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of what? Himself. But what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Isn't it amazing that going back to the centurion, that he was the only one that understood that Jesus is operating under the authority of a higher power. See, people in the Israel, people of Israel at that time questioned the authority of Jesus. By what authority do you do these miracles? And then he had to go in and explain himself. And they didn't want to answer it. It's crazy how the people that were meant to be the people of God at that time always rebelled against the authority of Christ. In return, they couldn't see that the very one that they apparently worshipped, they were rebelling against. Yet this man saw that Jesus didn't operate under his own authority. See, Jesus, let me say it this way. Jesus didn't wake up and sort of decide, well, I wonder what I'm going to do today. I feel like going down to the Sea of Galilee. He didn't wake up and go, well, I've got nothing in my diary for the next week. Maybe I might go down to Jerusalem and hold a crusade. He never decided. As we read in John, he said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. And now, church, nothing has changed until even up until this day. See, in Luke 7, we see the same account of with the centurion, and it's the same Greek word. The centurion says the same thing in both Gospels, saying that, Lord, I see you as a man under authority. Now, if there's really anything I would ask us to grab this morning is this. Power is given when under authority. Let me say it again. for everyone that's a born-again believer, that's a minister of the gospel, that does something for the Lord somehow, that might be a police officer, that might be a school teacher, whatever. It is, power is given when under authority. Now, we see that today, well, let me slow down and stick to my notes because there's so many things I want to say. Forgive me. Luke 10, let's quickly turn there. Luke 10. And we're going to read from verse 1. Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Verse 3 says, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Verse 4, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Let's stop there. We see that Jesus appointed 70. We know the story really, really well. That Jesus appointed 70 people to send them out and prepare the way of the Lord. Go into the cities where I am about to go. And he says, you know, go heal the sick, right? Go preach to them the kingdom of God. But the one thing that we never really take note of is from verse 4 and on, Jesus commands those 70 of there are certain ways you must act and do while you are doing my work. See, he didn't just say, go out and just preach and whatever you want to do, just go for it. Whatever you feel the Holy Spirit is telling you to do, just do it, just go, and whatever happens, happens. No, Jesus equipped these people, but he also exercised his authority over them, saying, when you go into these cities, this is what you are to do. Do you know, in ministry, one of the things that I've found out, and you find out really quick, is preaching a sermon or ministering to people isn't based on what I think is right or what I want to do. Is that we are servants of God. That there are times where I know I have to get this right, that, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What am I to do, Lord? What is it that you have for me? Lord, I would love to stay home today, but God, I know you're calling me to minister to this person. That as ministers and children of God, we really are to override what our flesh really wants to dictate sometimes, or what our mind thinks. That I realize that I am under a greater authority, that I am a servant to God, I am a servant to his people, and that because I am under the authority of Christ, is that there is a lifestyle I need to live. And I believe as we look throughout the church worldwide, that there are many ministers that sort of feel like that the Ten Commandments are more like the Ten Suggestions. Church, once again, the authority of God, the authority of Christ, is that if you and I truly want to operate in the power and the authority of heaven, just like Jesus says we shall possess, it comes from submission. that the Word of God says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. But it all starts with submit. See, we could chop out that part and just say, resist the devil, stand against the devil, and he will flee from you. But with what authority? And that's why submit to God is so important. That when you and I truly submit under the authority of God, it is like an empowerment, a protection, just like in Job that we read how Satan comes to God and accuses Job, saying, have you not put a hedge of protection around about him? In other words, the devil is saying, God, I want to get him, but it's because of your protection that I can't go near him. Later on, we read in Job, well, at the start of Job, it actually says that Job was a righteous man who feared God and shunned evil. In other words, there's a man that is prospering, that had more than anyone else, that was considered one of the best in his city and in the land, yet he wasn't the man. He never saw himself as someone great. He saw himself as someone under God. Hallelujah. See, for me, let me personalize this for you. That as a believer, when I myself personally am under the authority of Christ, I have this confidence knowing that every time Satan comes against me, he's coming against Christ because I'm under his authority. That as a husband and a father, the Bible says that for me as head of the home, that I am under the authority of Christ, that hupo exousia, that I have placed myself under the authority of Christ. That when, as the scripture says, that I love my wife the same way that Christ loves the church, that I don't abuse her, I don't speak evil of her, but I honor her as the weaker vessel, as the Bible says, is that I've chosen to obey God's word and allow his principles to live and reign, not just in my life, but as the head of the home, that there becomes that covering over my family. See, when I place my finances under the authority of God, that I tithe, that I give offerings, and that I choose to give to missions as the Lord has put on the hearts of both my wife and I know that whenever a bill comes that I cannot pay, Lord, it's up to you to meet my needs. That he shall meet all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Why? Because my finances are subject. They're under authority. Lord, I've honored you with my finances. I don't have to worry. As a pastor, I'm subject under the authority of Christ. Once again, it's that Greek word, the same Greek word that the centurion used that he saw in Christ, that he says, I also am a man under authority, that we understand as pastors, like I grew up listening to my father say this, that the senior pastor of this church is Jesus Christ. Why? Because he calls the shots, not us. We simply hear and obey. We do. We are subject. Lord, you are the senior pastor of this church. And when you are the senior pastor, when you decide what we are to do, we can only expect to walk in your will and your way and see blessings and favor upon your church, upon this church, upon every family that is represented in this church, upon every marriage. That when Christ is honored and placed on the throne where he belongs, we have nothing to fear. There may be times where life gets rough, but he's in control. And just the same way that Jesus calmed the storm, just the same way that he healed lepers, just the same way that he cast out demons, we have that same power because we are under the authority of Christ. Hallelujah. See, in Revelation chapter 3, I've got two scriptures to go. It's almost time to finish. But in Revelation chapter 3, we were here, I believe, last week or the week before with the Laodicean church and the Church of Philadelphia. Now, I've read this many, many, many times. But now looking through the lens of authority, for me, it painted a picture once again that I'd never seen before. I might read from verse 7, and to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things says, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Isn't Christ amazing? Jesus says this to the church of Philadelphia in verse 8, I know your works. See, that's an incredible statement. I know your works. Jesus, we have to understand that God has his plan. And we are either following the plan of God, the will of God, or we're not. We are either abiding in the vine or we're not. We're either walking in love or we're not. And Jesus says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. No one. And it's not because they're amazing people that have endless knowledge or pray 20 hours every day, because then he goes on to say, for you have a little strength. Not because you're the Apostle Paul, not because you can revise the whole scripture, but you have a little strength. Have kept my word and have not denied my name. Here's a people that are just truly submitted under the authority of God, knowing that when they gather together, we don't have much. The persecution out there is great. The martyrs are being stacked up one after the other. That those who are being persecuted and killed for their faith is getting greater and greater. But Lord, regardless of what is happening to us, your call on our life is greater, and we're not going to forsake it. We're not going to leave. We're going to stay surrendered under your authority. That as your church, what you've called us to do is greater than what we feel or fear or worry about. And this is why Jesus can say these powerful words, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door which no one can shut. Not because of who they are, but of who Christ is in them. Because this is a church that is surrendered under the authority of God. I can picture families that might have been pulled apart that were in the Philadelphian church, where mum and dad have been split apart and put in prison and the kids are now orphans, but they are a people that are surrendered, that will never deny the faith that they have in Christ Jesus. Never. But then we go on to the lukewarm church in verse 15 to 18. Jesus says once again, I know your works. Like, God is all-seeing, all-knowing. He knows. He sees. He hears. He understands. We can deceive any human being on the face of the earth. We can't deceive God. And Jesus says to the Laodicean church, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, and that you may be clothed, the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. See, when Jesus tells them, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined. I had a look at that word. And what it actually means is this. Jesus wanted to get together with those people. Just like when people plan something out together, keeping to their preset goals. In other words, Jesus is coming to the Laodicean church and he's saying to them, I want to counsel you. Let me speak some wisdom into your lives, because where you are now is not where you originally started. Where you are now and what you were doing, what you think is right, is not my plan for your life. In other words, here's a church that has actually left the call of God. The very plan and purpose that God have put the church on the face of the earth to do, they've found another thing to be occupied with. And we read it when he says that, well, we have become rich and we have everything that we need. And Jesus brings to their attention, no, you've totally lost it. Now, why is that? How can a church leave the call of God? Authority. See, in Luke, Jesus talks about he really talks about the cost of discipleship. And we read there where people say, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And then someone else says, God, Lord, I'll follow you, just let me bury my father. And Lord, I'll follow you, but just let me say goodbye. Lord, I will but. Lord, the church, I believe today, is filled with people. Now, I'm not saying this church, but it's common to see where a born-again believer can say, I will accept you as my Savior, but not my Lord. What that means is a person says, I want to go to heaven, but I just want to do what I want to do while I'm here on earth. And it's a dangerous thing. See, being under the authority of God is such a blessing. There's peace, there's joy, there's provision. There is everything that you and I need. God never established authority to be bossy. He established authority so that we would never lack. That he's the creator of the world. Everything that you and I face in life, he can overcome. I'll finish on this. Remember how we started with Jesus was under authority. In Matthew 3, we read where Jesus came to John to be baptized, and John the Baptist didn't want to baptize him, saying, "I'm the one that should be baptized by you." But Jesus, with all humility and under authority, understood that I am to fulfill all righteousness and that I'm not just here to do what I want. In Matthew 4, after he was baptized by John, it says that he was led by the Spirit into fasting and prayer in the wilderness to be tempted by Satan for 40 days, 40 nights. Jesus didn't get baptized and anointed to go out and start a healing ministry, but to be led by the Holy Spirit into whatever the Lord, the Holy Spirit wanted him to do. John 5, we see that Jesus was totally under the authority of God. And the last one in Luke 22 is the one I want to finish on. It says in Luke 22 that when Jesus came to the end of his ministry, the end of his time on earth, that he knew he was about to be betrayed and that he was in the garden praying. Let me just turn there. I feel to read it. Luke 22. Luke 22, 39, 44. And it says this, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as was his custom. And his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will to take this cup away from me, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. See, Jesus was under the authority of God unto death. He says, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me." In other words, what I'm about to face, I do not want to go through with it. I don't have what it takes. Whether it was fear, doubt, or worry, I don't know. But he was obedient unto death. See, that obedience that Christ had brought us the amazing gift of salvation. That we are all here today as born-again believers, children of the living God, our sins washed away, and we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our old life is totally gone, and we are living in a new life today because of one man's obedience. And I remember the night I was born again, that all darkness was washed away by his blood, and I felt totally clean and totally new. And I knew that salvation was powerful. It was magnificent. It set me free from darkness, and it had transformed my life. And God had placed his Spirit in me to live for him, to tell others about what God has done in my life. And this morning, if you are here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you may once walked with him and have fallen away, I want to give you an invitation this morning to come up and receive the precious gift that God has given to us, his Son. that if you know you are not right with God, I want to invite you to come right now. Just walk out the front and I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray a prayer similar to what I prayed, where God transformed my life. I became a child of God. Hallelujah. So if this is you, come to the front right now. If you have a prayer request and want prayer for anything else, it doesn't have to be that. Just come forward and we're going to pray. But my heart this morning, if you don't know God, or you once did and you are not right with Him, please come forward now and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We pray God's richest blessing on your life. If you haven't already, make sure to join us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also find us at logancitychristianchurch.com. See you next week.